Sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, and the sports are slowly creeping back, but there's also some not-so-good news in the Ronaverse. Let's do this. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart. Tyler Drew Scott on the board today, as he will be for a couple times a week. Always a pleasure to have him. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Tyler Drew Scott. And you can text the show, 713-780-3776. And it's a Tuesday. Hope everybody's having a good one. Let's have some fun today. What's happening, Hoffman?
Sports and stuff, man. What's going on with you?
Not much. Just another day in the Ronaverse where not getting a whole hell of a lot accomplished. So there's that. basically just show prepped all day and played goofy games on my phone. That's where I am right now.
All right.
Slowly descending into madness, I think. But
it must be it.
Maybe not that slow, but ready to rock and roll today, have some fun for 3 hours, and try to get through another day in the Rona world. But what's going on? What's going on there?
I had meetings today at the office, so I actually saw humans, albeit at a distance. Okay. But now, since I got home, I did my show prep and started working on my my UFC package for this weekend, or this week, the Wednesday card for tomorrow. So I'll try to have that posted up tonight, and so I'm. It's almost like a normal week for me. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, I was way too productive yesterday. I got all my work done for today and tomorrow, which I've really got to learn to space that out better. It's just you get on a roll and you just keep going, and then all of a sudden I'm like, damn, I ain't got anything to do today. This kind of sucks. So, just can I get 4 o'clock here and please hurry?
Well, here you are, Fred. You've made it.
Yeah. I used to joke about how on Sundays, NFL days, that 11 to noon hour is like the longest hour of the week. And like, I wish life was like that so you'd live longer. Now it's the hour from 3 to 4. It's like the longest hour. It just drags. I'm like, oh, come on, man. Let's get to 4 o'clock. But people saying the Dinos win again.
Yeah, they did. Walk off, baby.
Oh, man. This is what we're
The bullpen continues to stink, but listen, the Dinos come up with big hits when they need them. That Dinos offense is no joke. The starting pitching is no joke. I'm telling you, this is a championship team, Fred. Championship team. I feel it.
Well, apparently from reading Paul Muth's article on Sports Map, because he actually, when he was serving in Korea, he became a Dinos fan and went to a bunch of games. So
okay.
He actually knows the league. So he's been doing little updates on it. Apparently, everybody scores runs in that league except for one team.
Ah, who's the one team?
I don't remember, but it was the Wyverns.
Okay.
Now, that's a name I could have gotten behind, but now that I see how awful they are, yeah, not happening. I don't want awful. I just want not the best team.
Well, I think you made a mistake getting on board with me and the Dinos. I think they're the best team.
And me.
Oh, yeah, Tyler, too. Yeah,
Fred,
Tyler,
can you just say Dinos win again? I just want to see if that triggers something in the system. Can you hear me?
Who, me or AJ?
Yeah,
me
just one of y'all say Dinos win again.
Dinos win again.
Okay.
Now we've got it. Okay. We're going to have music. We've got to get Tyler on board with Aaron. We've got music when we talk about the Dinos.
I was not aware of that. Okay.
Yeah, well, it's okay. We'll get you all looped in on this, but it's very important now. We play the intro to the television show Dinosaurs when we start talking Dinos baseball.
Gotcha.
Well, can we give Tyler credit for doing all the research on this? Didn't you see he did all the work?
He did. He did do quite a bit of work. And he, you know, listen, he's Team Dinos for life too. And the Dinos now at 5-1 appear to be an unstoppable force. I'm looking forward to tonight, but tomorrow night, unfortunately, the UFC's on too, but I guess it'll be post UFC anyway. That's when my man pitches. So, Tyler, I don't know about you. Do you have a favorite player on the Dinos yet?
I haven't. They're all my favorite players.
Okay, mine is Koo Chang Mo. I don't know if you saw him pitch the other night. He's a left-handed starter, and I'm pretty sure he is the Cy Young. In Korea, they call it the Chang Mo. He's the Chang Mo. His name is Koo Chang Mo. So that's how good of a pitcher he is. He's the best.
Well, I'll have to do my research then. More research than I've already done.
Yeah, I could see Wednesday night being a Hoffman watches UFC all night and then stays up and watches Korean baseball until the wee hours of the morning.
But you might get that. You might get that.
That might be a good drunk sports night. But yeah, and there's some news on some of the other leagues that we'll get to as people try to roll things back. One thing that came out today, which little surprised by the news of this. Did you see that? Basically, LA County is going to extend the stay-at-home order for 3 more months.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah, and
but also, I mean, that's a town where everybody lives on top of each other. I mean, it's spread out, but there's just so many people there, I guess.
Well, they're all going to be living on the streets here pretty soon if it keeps up like that, which they already are. But I also think long-term, this kind of has an impact. Like, if they're going through August, there's no way that your Pac-12 teams are going to be ready to play there. There's no way that you're going to be back in school. There's no way the NFL is going to start in LA on time. So I think that's going to the other sports were already looking at other places. I don't know if you saw, like, the MLS is basically planning to put everybody in Orlando and just play all their games there. Maybe when we get Glenn on, we'll ask him what he thinks of that, but it kind of makes sense to just, because you've got, there's plenty of hotels and stuff there where you can keep people isolated and just have the games played in that state. But I think this pushes back things like USC and UCLA, they can't practice. If we're talking about getting into September before they can even practice, well, guess what? The season's supposed to start before then. So, and just on a kind of a related note, I don't know if you saw this, but Alabama is in talks with TCU about, you know, because they were supposed to play USC and Jerry World to open the season. TCU was supposed to play at Berkeley, and looks like those games probably aren't going to happen. So Alabama and TCU are talking about playing instead in Jerry World to open the season, assuming we can even get to that.
Yeah.
But, there's at least contingency plans out there for stuff like this, but I'd be shocked if we see Pac-12 football, especially as a full conference.
Well, that's what I mean. What are they going to do? Are they is like the Pac-12 not going to play, and some teams what's going on? I don't understand how some teams are going to get going and some won't.
And that's the, that's the question. What do you do? And so what if the SEC and the ACC and the Big Ten and the Big 12 all play and the Pac-12 can't? And does it – I mean, I think it's one of those not ideal things, but on the other hand, that's just the reality of some states are going to allow things and some states aren't. And it's one of those – we've been talking about how unknown this is, but I don't see any way unless everybody agrees to move it back and start in December or something like that. But, I don't know. But that's scary for the people there to go another 3 months like that. I mean, I know you're trying to stop it from spreading, but that's you're going to – and Lamont just sent us a thing, California State University campuses to remain closed through the fall semester.
Damn.
So,
well,
yeah, that means –
it's hard to play football if you're not having guys on campus.
Well, and just from the Pac-12's perspective, that's no Cal, no Stanford, no USC, no UCLA. Do you just play a conference schedule with the other teams. And I don't know if that works, because it's not like Oregon and Washington are going to – I mean, Washington's had it pretty bad. It's not like they're going to jump back in much right. before California. So now you're talking about, boy, if a small amount of schools. I think the only thing you can do is say, okay, we're moving the Pac-12 season back to December, but what if the other schools say, no, you know what, we're ready to go. We'll play in September.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to do it.
Yeah, it's a weird time. And I mean, I get California is probably going to be the last one to and this is L.A. County, first off, that is extending things, because it hasn't been that way throughout California.
Right.
But if they're not going to open the schools until next spring, then it's not like you can actually play sports there.
Exactly. If it's not safe enough to have students on campus, you can't do games.
No. And colleges, unlike the NFL, you can't just say, well, we'll go and play. Like the LA teams can go play in Vegas. There's been some talks of that, playing in the new Vegas stadium and staying there and not, you know, but you can't do that with college football. You can't just say, oh, well, we'll just, you know, we'll go play all our games in Las Vegas. You can't really do that, because the kids have to be on campus and everything else. So I think it certainly puts college football in a position of either everybody's going to have to agree to push it back until next year, or not everyone's going to be playing. And that
well,
being the case,
it's hard to imagine the teams that can play are not going to.
Well, can you imagine the SEC, especially with the leadership in most of those states, saying, "Ah, you know what? Well, we can wait till January for you, California."
Yeah,
I just don't see it, especially since Georgia's already almost completely reopened, and I can't see that happening. I really can't. So, I think we're just gonna see a very different college football landscape because of this, and I don't know what you can do about it. It's, you know, nobody has any answers, that's for sure. But 2-1 says, I'm going to miss those late night Hawaii games, that's for sure. Yeah, me too. That was always my get out game.
Yep.
I was betting those Hawaii games in the middle of the night. But yeah, it's, I thought that was the most interesting thing to come out today. I also, just from a general, you know, mental health perspective, why would you tell them 3 more months right now? Why don't you just say, we're going to keep it going until, I mean, I guess you've got a plan for a lot of things, but that's got to be, I mean, people are already getting stir crazy.
Yeah.
And now you're telling them another 3 months, and that's where it starts getting dangerous, because that means a lot of these jobs aren't coming back. A lot of these businesses aren't coming back. A lot of people who need health care for other reasons aren't going to be able to afford it. And this is, to me, is where it gets dangerous, when it drags out that long. But, you know, that's all part of, well, you know, that's all part of the whole thing. You just have to adjust to it. And, you know, I just kind of, that just really surprised me today that they said, oh, we're doing it for 3 more months.
Yeah. That's a long time, man.
And I mean, we've already.
And I don't really understand. Like, I don't understand how they can say 3 months. Like, somehow they know it's not going to be okay before then, or they know it'll be. I mean, because when you say 3 months, if it gets to 3 months and it still needs to be going on, you can always extend it. I don't like the idea of saying 3 months, knowing that, you know, who knows where we'll be in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I agree. I think, and I mean, because it is easy to say, hey, we're just going to do another 15 days and then we'll figure it out from there. But they left it open a little bit that if it starts getting better before then, that maybe they would loosen it a little. But I just, man, people mm-hmm. don't want to hear that right now. People don't want to hear 3 damn months.
So. Yeah, that's tough to hear, certainly. You know what they do want to hear?
All right.
They want to get out there on their hoops. So the people in L.A., I don't know if they can get hoops in L.A. I guess you probably can. I don't know. I guess if you're in L.A., you'll have to go to produnkhoops.com and figure it out. It's where you get the best basketball goals on the entire planet. And you might be saying, well, how do you know they're the best? Because, listen, I have one in my front yard. The thickest steel of any goal on the market, 75% thicker than the best brands in the big box stores. A tempered glass backboard. If it breaks or cracks for any reason, Hoops is going to replace it for free. That's how confident they are. It's got a Rust Armor finish and a design to fit your home, your driveway, your backyard. They've even got a fully portable version, and they're all adjustable from 10 feet to 5 feet with the turn of a handle. It's so simple. My 8-year-old can change it down to 8 feet. My older son likes to play at 10 feet. So it's great for everybody, and it's got them outside. That's the most important thing. They're not cooped up playing video games all day, every day. They're outside and hooping it up on this great goal. Get your new Hoops goal today. See it all at ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com. 281-351-9822 for Pro Dunk Hoops.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. And, you know, just thinking about this, if the NFL can only play in certain places, and I don't know when Nevada's coming back. I know, you know, that there's some speculation that the L.A. teams could play in the new stadium there. But would it be possible to have one location like Dallas-Fort Worth where there's at least four stadiums there that you could use and just play neutral field games?
But, are they going to play football and not go to class?
No, I'm talking about the NFL.
Oh, okay.
Because they're going to run into some of this too. There's no question.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the NFL is a different beast, and I don't know how much they're going to be willing to change. You know, obviously they released that schedule. I think everyone knows that schedule is not going to work. And they're going to have to readjust somehow. But I don't know that I can picture them changing up the way they do business too much, like where they're going to have teams play in stadiums that aren't their own. I almost think there's this sense of stubbornness from them that I have a hard time seeing that happen.
Well, I mean, they are by far the most arrogant of the leagues. There's no question. But does it really matter if the stadium's empty where you're playing?
No.
You're doing it for TV. And, yeah, that SMU stadium's not the biggest, but who cares? It's 100 yards, and you get TV in there.
Yep. I'm with you. I mean, hell, the Cotton Bowl. You want the Cotton Bowl to be useful?
And that's the thing, because you would have the Cotton Bowl, you'd have TCU Stadium, SMU Stadium, and then you'd have Jerry World. So you could play four games at once, and then – you know,
but then I guess the question is, like, are these guys going to live there all year or what?
Probably. At least until it's opened up to where you can go back to your own stadiums.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, I don't think you'd be playing the whole season that way. But if you did the first 4 to 6 weeks, would it be the worst thing in the world?
I mean, it wouldn't bother me, but I think the players not being able to go home might be an issue to them.
Yeah, well, you'd have to put their families up, too. I mean, there's things you'd have to – and I'm guessing hotels aren't exactly booked right now.
Right.
So you could probably pull it off. But, you know, this is the first time I've actually been worried about football in the fall at all, having none, because, you know, that's a pretty big chunk there. And they're not going to be the only state that does this. They're just the first. So now, if you saw the latest on the MLB proposal, which apparently is going to come down to a fight between the MLP, the Players Union, and the owners, because Players Union wants all its money. They'd already agreed to have prorated, but now they're talking about, well, how about a split of the revenue? And the players are like, hey, screw that.
I got to be honest. That's a bad look for the Major League Baseball players.
It is.
I mean, in this time when, I mean, everybody's taking pay cuts, that's just kind of the deal. If it's we're not going to play at all, or you play for a 50-50 revenue split, it seems like a no-brainer, to be honest.
Well, the latest plan there, it would be 82 regular season games, which I'm for, by the way. I think there's way too many games. But and then they would do that interleague matchup thing we talked about. Now, if LA County's not going to be open, obviously you're not playing games at Dodger Stadium. So that would impact it a little bit as far as where your home games play, because their plan was to play, you know, like extended series. Like you'd have like Astros Rangers for six games instead of three or four.
Right.
And then, and I think all that makes sense, but now you're talking about the Angels, the Dodgers, presumably the A's, not being able to play games in their stadiums. So you'll have to adjust all of that. Just like I was talking about with the NFL. And I think it can be done. I mean, there's a way to do it. It's just if they're going to fight over money now, it's a bad look for everybody. And from what I understand, they had agreed to prorated salaries. So if you play 81 games, you'll get half your salary. Well, that to me, that's better than nothing, especially considering that most of these guys aren't really hurting. And you know, most of the people who are going to be watching them are.
Well, I mean, how often are we on the side of – you know, the owners. I mean, it's rare that we're on the side of the billionaires versus even the millionaires. But it does seem like, you know, at some point, you know, these owners aren't making nearly the money that they would make if it were a normal season. So how can they be expected to pay the ball players like they've got the same revenue? All those salaries are negotiated, assuming that within reason. I mean, you can't guarantee a sellout by any stretch, but you're basically – these contracts are given out under the assumption that they're going to be fans in the seats. And it's very difficult to hold them to that when we're in an unprecedented situation.
Well, that's the thing. And A32 says it's a bad look for the owners. Players already agreed to pay cuts. Owners just want more cuts. Well, guess what? Every business is going to want more cuts if this thing drags out the way it is, especially one – that is so dependent on money from fans in the stands and concessions and all of that.
They didn't really agree to pay cuts. They agreed to get paid for the games that they're going to be able to play. That's not really a pay cut, because it's not like Major League Baseball's been making money off of them while they haven't been playing. It's not like like Jim Crane's raking in dough right now that, you know, he's saving this money because he's not getting the money. So, no, they haven't really taken a pay cut. What they've offered is to just get paid the same amount for less games. That's not taking a pay cut.
No, and then somebody says if the positions were switched and revenues were soaring, would the owners be willing to do a 50-50 split? That's what they have collective bargaining for, and that's one of those – I've already got about four of the worst comparisons of things ever. This is you're in an unprecedented situation, and one has nothing to do with the other. So – you know, sorry, but that's just a really, that's one of those, oh, well, what about this things that makes no sense. The reality is, for everybody, everybody has to adjust. Every business has to adjust. And like any business, everybody wants to stay in business. And to do that, it's going to require cuts. It's just going to happen. And, you know, we're all dealing with it. And I think, there's so many people out of work right now that, frankly, they're going to look at that and go, dude, if you can work, get your ass out on the field. Give me something to watch. And Lamont said, I'm almost positive the Angels are Orange County and not L.A. They are, but I think Orange County's been following along with all that, too.
I think so, too.
Yeah. It's
It would take them getting out of out of the area.
Yeah, and that may be what you have to do. Guess what, guys? You're going to live in Arizona for a month. Until this changes. I mean, I think you can always go back to the idea of playing in your own stadium when it's okay. And maybe that's half the season. Maybe it winds up being the whole season. But, and again, you've got all those stadiums in Phoenix for spring training. Not Phoenix, but Arizona for spring training. Why not? It's not like you need them for fans.
Right.
And so I think there's a lot of things you could probably do. But, and so he said, the owners are not transparent with their financials. If they're willing to open the books, players might be more open. I think if I'm a player, I'm more open to getting on the field and getting some games in and getting paid. And worrying about – see, this is the problem, and Scott Boras is kind of one of the guys behind this because, of course, his income's based on it. Everybody's acting like this is a normal negotiation in a normal time, and it's not. And anybody who thinks it is, I'm sorry, you either don't get it, or you don't want to get it. This is not a normal time, And you know, there were some people who were ripping Dana White for the UFC thing, especially when Souza tested positive. Like, you got to cancel the fights. You got to cancel the fights. Well, okay, you had one guy test positive. Everybody else was tested. The fights went off fine. You got another card coming up Wednesday. You have to change and react. And if suddenly everybody got sick, absolutely, you'd have to stop.
Yeah.
But I just wish people would quit pretending like, oh, this is normal. And baseball, all these guys are going to lose revenue. And I know, and I was listening to Patrick and Jason a little bit last night, and you know, Patrick was saying that, well, they're hearing all these TV contracts are going to be through the roof, so it's not going to be that bad. I can't, I mean, I don't know that that's true, because I know agents want it to be true. I know players want it to be true, and hell, even owners do. But the reality is, they don't know. I mean, because you're talking about sponsorship money. Oh, they get all this sponsorship money. How many companies are going to say, look, we can't afford to spend $10 million to be the official whatever of the NFL this year? I think there's going to be a lot of them. And you know, I think you've got to have an eye towards that, which is what my Thursday column is, something we talked about on the show, that maybe you should wait on Deshaun Watson's extension for a year.
Yeah. But,
and so, I mean, I think it's – I mean, I love that – you know, people want to try to get things going again, and I think they just have to – people are going to have to accept it on all sides that, yeah, this is not normal, and it's not going to be normal. And you got to quit acting like it's normal. But, oh, well. And I think you're right about the NFL. They're extremely – they're so arrogant. I don't think they'd ever go for a plan that would, you know, say, okay, well, we're only playing in this area. Which I'd be curious to see how it works for the MLS, because I think that's a model that you have to look at if you're these other leagues. And
yep.
You know, not that the MLS is something you look at and say, oh, I want to be like them. But for this, maybe it makes sense. All right.
Well, we got to hit a break. Ike Villanueva on the other side, the UFC's newest heavyweight, Houston's own. We'll talk to him in just a few minutes.
Sounds good. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, and another UFC card tomorrow night. And AJ has been good enough to get us yet another great guest to talk about it, who's going to be making his debut tomorrow night. Take it away, Mr. Hoffman.
Yeah, Ike Villanueva, Hurricane Ike, one of the guys who has been in the game in Houston for a long, long time and has really earned this spot. And he's a guy who... fought for legacy, or like early in the days when I started covering MMA here in Houston, and I was talking about the story last week when I knew we were going to have Ike, when he fought Chico Young and got blood on my shirt and my laptop. That was back in 2010. So this is a dude who's been grinding for a long time. Glad to see him make the jump. Ike Villanueva joins us, man. How you doing, bud?
Man, how you doing, buddy, man? Everything's going good out here in Jacksonville, man. The weather's beautiful, and it's my time to shine out here.
I mean, obviously you haven't had a normal UFC experience yet, this being your first one, but the fact that this card's on a Wednesday in the middle of the week, obviously they're doing extra testing. There's fewer people there. Is it anything like what you pictured it being?
Man, the experience is so great. You know, so we get in the UFC, but you know, it's not like the Vegas UFC where you got everybody, where you got the crowds and the open workouts. You know, everything right now is real private out here. Man, the testing, man. Big ups to Dana White and the UFC staff. They're doing a great job on the testing, man. They're on top of it out here. But that's the experience. It's still a lifetime memory. But I'm just glad I'm here.
When they give you the call and they're saying, hey, we want you to fight. I mean, it seems like it's hard to pass up, but it's also not a – I mean, what kind of training camp were you able to have? Was everything normal and ideal for you, or are you just saying, you know what, this opportunity is just too great for me to pass up?
Yeah, man, I had to feel it, man. During this time, man, I was going to get my shot. But as for training-wise with this COVID-19, man, it was hard. I mean, me and Coach Pineda, you know, we've been training a long time together. It was just me and him. You know, we'll train every other day. We couldn't do the everyday thing because, you know, we both got kids on the way, you know. So it was tough, man. But this opportunity, you don't say no to the UFC. When Dana calls, you pick up. You ready? Yes or no? You say no, you're not going to get that phone call again. So, man, I jumped all over the opportunity, man. This could be a great fight Wednesday night, man. I just can't wait to represent Texas and, man, bring this W back home.
For people who haven't seen you fight, what would you say your style is? How would you describe it?
Man, I'm coming from Texas, man. Blue collar way. Shit, hard nose, coming straight forward like a bull, man. There's no quit. There's no quit, man. My style is, man, we're going to go out like Derek Lewis says, man, swinging and banging. That's it, man. There's no backing up, no retreat, man. It's Wednesday night. I'm leaving it all out there because I got to take advantage of this opportunity I'm given.
Ike Villanueva is our guest, making his UFC debut tomorrow night, which is the fight night, 171, yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, 171, yes.
What do you know about your opponent, Chase Sherman? The only time I've ever really thought about Chase Sherman was when he fought Justin Ledette, another guy from the area. What did you think of Chase Sherman and as an opponent? What do you see him? How do you see him matching up with you?
He's tall. He's tall, man. I mean, typical fighter. I mean, he's real tough, man. Real long. I got to do my style. I got to get inside. I got to be the aggressor. I can't stand that bait. Let him catch me with the leg kicks. We all know that's his style. But you know me, I'm coming straight forward to use my angles. Once I get inside, I look to unload on him, man. But as for Sherman, you know, he's a veteran in the game, so you got to give him respect. He's been here before, but I'm looking to end that pretty quick for him, man, because it's my time now, man. I paid my dues in Houston, Texas, man. The hurricane's here, man.
Is this a – I mean, are you planning on staying at heavyweight? Because I know you kind of dropped down to 205 for a while, and, I mean, you're a former middleweight even. Do you think this is a permanent move to heavyweight?
No, sir, man. I'll look and go back to light heavyweight after this. It made sense to take this fight. This fight was great. Give me 1 second. I'm out of the tour here. There's a plane flying over. Yeah, this was a dream matchup. I mean, when I got the call from my management, I didn't know I was fighting Chase Sherman until about an hour later. Because, you know, everybody knows me back home. I'm tough. I don't back down from nothing. You tell me a fight, let's do it. But this fight, it makes sense to do it at heavyweight. Nobody's cutting because it had been harder to cut the 205 during these times, especially back home with all the gyms locked up. But this is a one-time deal, and I look to go back to 205 after I handle business Wednesday night.
Ike Villanueva, our guest. What's been the – I mean, when did you get into town, and what's the experience been like for you so far?
Man, it's been an awesome experience, man. Me and my coaches, Daniel Pineda, Crew Bob Perez, and Joseph Cameron, we got in Sunday. And as for the weather out here in Jacksonville, man, it's beautiful, man. I thought it would be a lot of humidity out here, hot, but, man, the weather's been phenomenal. Right now, you know, can't do much to be around the hotel, but, you know, we can get around the riverfront and enjoy it. But it's been a great experience. Got a chance to do my interviews with ESPN, Cormier, you know, the big names. Yeah, that was pretty awesome. And meeting Dana White, that was, man, icing on the cake.
You're going to be the first fight of the night, am I correct?
Yeah, first fight of the prelims Wednesday night, man. That'd be awesome.
Are we trying to get it over with as soon as possible again?
Man, we're looking for that 50K bonus, man. You got to lay. Hey, there's no way. I got one fight to change my family's life back at home, man. So I told my wife and kids, I'm letting it all hang out, man. I'm bringing it. It's because, you leave your first impression. Don't be the guy that drags it 3 rounds and don't go for the finish. I'm going balls to balls for the finish, man. This Dana White fashion. They call it my style boxes, Mexican style, straightforward, man. So here we go.
All right, that's Ike Villanueva making his UFC debut, fighting out of Houston, Texas. You can check him on ESPN this weekend, or actually tomorrow night. I shouldn't say this week. I keep getting confused because it's a midweek fight card. Hey, man, I'm always glad when guys from Houston make it to the big show. I'm really happy for you because I know it's been a long-ass road, man, with lots of ups and lots of downs. So I'm happy to see you get your shot, and I hope that we're talking before your next UFC fight as well, my man.
Awesome, man. Thank you, everybody back at home, man. All my family, my wife and kids, man. Much love to you. Especially my boys, Isaiah and Anthony, man. I love y'all boys. Everybody at home, man. Y'all tune in tomorrow night. Hurricane has landed. Jacksonville, Texas. Let's go.
We'll be there,
Texas.
Brother.
Jacksonville, Florida.
Take care, Ike.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah, I'm guessing that fight will probably be while we're on air tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm not, I don't even know what time the fights are going to be on. I have no idea, honestly.
Huh. Yeah, I guess we'll find out. But
yeah, I guess so. Yeah, one way or the other.
Well, we could just watch on the computer, and you can do play by play.
Maybe that's what I'll do. I mean, but, Fred, you know, in my home studio, I've got a television right here, right just to my left.
I have a television down here, but I don't have it hooked up to anything right now. So it's, you know, it's kind of, 'cause nobody's been staying in the guest room, so we don't really need to have everything in all three places.
Yeah,
but I may have to get it hooked up just for that. But you know, it really is cool. And I mean, it's got to be fun for you. Like all these guys that you saw at the beginning with Legacy and everything else that are getting their chance in the UFC now. I mean, this is 2 in 2 weeks, really. And it's just kind of cool, the stories you have about them. And it's got to be kind of fun to watch them grow into guys who are getting these opportunities.
Yeah, it's very cool. And especially the guy, I mean, it's one thing for the guys who get up there in a hurry, but it's another to see these dudes who have taken the long way there. And you know, Ike's been fighting professionally since 2008. That's a long time, man. And that's a dude who was at one point, I think he was something like, I don't know, 7-7. Usually if that's where you're at in your career, usually you don't end up making it. And now here he sits, he's gone 9-2 in his last 11, sitting at 16-9. And earned a spot. So it's a pretty cool thing to see guys, you know, work from basically nothing and get themselves this kind of a shot.
Well, he sounds like a really easy guy to root for too. So definitely hope he gets it done and gets another opportunity after this. But it kind of goes back to what we were talking about last week, that, you know, if you're a fighter and this is your thing, you get the call no matter what the situation is with the testing and all, you're taking that fight, man. And
yeah.
And it sounds like he's going out there to make a name for himself and to, you know, not go out meekly and just – and I mean, he sounds like he's got the right attitude going in.
I agree. I mean, and he's a guy – he's going to put on a show 100%. He's going to be chasing that knockout.
All right. Well, let's take a very quick break. Please don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Is The Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. If you want to get in, you can always get us on Twitter. You can always text the show. And one texter asking, when are y'all back in studio? And I think we get asked that a lot. Frankly, when AJ says, hey, let's go back, we'll go back, is the way I look at it. I mean, I couldn't see it happening before June 1st. But
that's my goal, is June 1st. And there's some people who have asked to go back. And, you know, I'm not telling them no. If you want to go back in, I mean, go back in. I'm still asking everybody to disinfect their spots before and after their shifts. But, yeah, there's only so much I can do. So if guys want to go in and work, I'm going to let them work.
Yeah, and I just kind of feel like...
I mean, there's new shows starting. It's hard to, you know, to have these guys and just say, hey, yeah, to start this new show that we want to be successful, you know, while you're in different spots. That ain't easy.
No, it's a lot easier for us because we've been doing it for 10 years. But when you're starting from scratch, as we both know, it's not always easy to get a show up and running and doing well, and especially if you're in different locations. But, you know, my thought all along has been when AJ's ready, then I'll come back, because AJ's been a little more nervous about this than I have. So if he's comfortable, I'll be comfortable and we'll do it. I kind of still feel like it may be July at the longest, but, you know, that's when AJ says go, we'll go. And I'll happily do it unless I have the Rona and have to stay home.
I mean, we've been lucky because our show in particular, we haven't had many technical difficulties, and we've been working together for so long. John and Lance have been working together for so long that it's less difficult for us than it is for other shows, I would say.
Yeah, and so, I mean, again, to me, it's just a matter of when you feel comfortable with it, and, you know, and I'll be right there. But in the interim, I think we're going fine, and we'll keep doing what we're doing until things change. And, you know, I think that's really all you can do. I don't know if you saw this, but the Chronicle just sent out a story that Sam Houston Race Park is prepared to open for simulcasting on short notice. So they've redone their whole first floor, which is where all the simulcasting takes place. And, you know, wagering machines have been spaced at 6-foot intervals, as have circle floor mats for those waiting in line to wager. Tables and chairs have also been moved apart by 6 feet, and they're going to install transparent plastic guards at wagering and concession windows. But doesn't say when they'll reopen, but they're preparing for it. So as soon as it gets declared that you can go and bet simulcast. Now, it's not going to be live racing, but I mean, they're taking all the precautions. So good for them. I know that's a big chunk of their money. That's just, and people are, there's races out there to bet on. You just can't do it legally in Texas. So you have to go to offshore accounts. But that story just hit 4 minutes ago. So they're ready to reopen with, and good for them putting up the guards and all that stuff. I mean, that's not cheap, but if it gets people back in the building who want to bet, then, and can do it safely, all good.
Yep.
A32 says, this is so cool that I'm nervous. I literally was listening to the Blitz, and now I'm servicing their AC unit. I love the show.
Oh, are you? Yeah, are you, I have an AC guy here. Or I did. I don't know if he's still here.
That's awesome. And then somebody asked, did you talk about Prime Poker reopening today yet? Did they reopen?
I think they did, and I think it's like 6 to a table max. You got to get your temperature checked. You got to wear a mask. I mean, it's a process, but if you're into playing, then by God, I think they're open, yeah.
Oh, awesome. Well, you said they've been good partners for us for a long time, so if you're up for a game and, you know, they're there now, so go check them out. As long as you're – I said, just do what you're comfortable doing, man. Don't – would never encourage anybody to go out if they're not comfortable. Would never encourage anybody to stay in if they want to go out and do these things as they open. Just do what's best for you, man. And yeah, if you feel like playing the little cards, there you go. 936 asks, can you give a quick rundown on the new show lineups? I missed a little bit of actually what's going on. Typically listen all day at work, but I've been missing some time here lately from Blaine.
Well, I wouldn't get too married to the new show lineups. I think, in fact, I'm going to go ahead and say now we're going to make an announcement on Thursday about the lineup. But what I will say is the bench is from 7 to 11. That's not changing. Charlie and Joel and Nick Sharara, the press box is the name of the show. It's going to be on from 11 to 2, and then our show is going to be on from 4 to 7. But we've got some things in the works that we will be announcing on Thursday.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, that'll be – all right, now everybody's going to have to tune in Thursday to find out just what the hell's
going
on.
That's right.
But, yeah, so, I mean, the big change, obviously, is Joel and Nick moving in with Charlie and not having the usual suspects and obviously not having Raheel anymore. That's which sucks, but AJ's making the best of it, which is what we all have to do in these trying times. But oh, you know what? I finally watched the Harley Quinn movie. I meant to tell you that.
The Birds of Prey, is it any good?
Yeah, it's not like blow you away great, like some people were saying, but it's worth watching. I enjoyed it.
Okay. Well, I was going to watch it anyway, even if you thought it sucked, but I figured I'd give it a chance.
No, it doesn't suck. It probably doesn't live up to how much it was hyped, but it's good. And, you know, I don't regret the $5.99 I spent on it, so there's that.
I watched a movie that you said sucked, and I took a chance on it anyway. The movie where Ben Affleck's drunk?
Oh, the drunk basketball coach?
Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called. Yeah.
The Way Back.
The Way Back, yeah.
I thought the movie was pretty good until the end. The end was so terrible.
I know.
I mean, it's like they didn't even try, or like they got to where they were like, okay, what should we do for the ending? And then like the guy who had been directing it just died or something, and they were like, you know what, we're just going to leave it like this. It's unimaginable that that's what they had planned from the beginning. It's terrible.
See, and you know me. I mean, I want a good ending, and if you leave me with a bad one, it really doesn't matter what the rest of the movie was. It's just I can't forgive you for that. And plus, the drunk thing's been so overdone. I mean, I think you shouldn't be doing any drunk movies after the Denzel Washington one. That should have been like the Unforgiven of Westerns. That was kind of it. That Flight, whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah.
713 asks, I heard the fights did almost a million buys. Can AJ confirm? I haven't seen
I can't.
Yet.
I haven't gotten I haven't seen the exact numbers yet.
Yeah, I was hoping to include that in tomorrow's column, which is about what we talked about yesterday's show, the UFC kind of being a guideline for these other sports to come back, and you know how
according to Yahoo, UFC 249 generated over 700,000 buys on ESPN Plus.
That's good. That's real good.
Yeah. So that's not bad.
Which means there were probably, four times that streaming it illegally?
Oh, probably. Yeah, there's a lot of people watching, certainly. But, yeah, 700,000 at $65 a pop. Yeah, they did all right.
Yeah, I think they're doing fine.
Yep.
And Jeff just tweeted us the new guidelines for Prime Social and says you just have to have your temperature checked prior to entry. They'll operate at 25% capacity. They'll be closed from 5 a.m. to 10 a.m. daily for sanitation. You must wear face coverings to play and a max of 6 per table, which I don't mind the 6 per table. I like that, actually.
Six is decent.
Six. I don't want to play 4.
4 would be crazy.
Yeah, like they're talking about in Vegas. But six-handed is – and I know you did this too. We used to play a lot of six-handed sit-and-goes. So
yep.
I like that you have to be a little more aggressive. It gives you more range of hands to play. So – yeah, good on them. So somebody says, damn, Fred, I felt like Birds of Prey was the worst money I ever spent money watching. Kind of questioning your taste now. What did you like about it? Well, just question my taste. We don't have to like the same things, Chief. I thought that it was, like I said, I don't think it lived up to the hype, but it didn't suck. Unless you just don't like women in film, because it was basically a ensemble female cast. To me, it was like a better version of Charlie's Angels, kind of badass Charlie's Angels.
Yeah.
If you don't like my taste, I don't care. I'm going to give you an honest opinion. If you didn't like it, that's great. We all don't like the same stuff. If we did, we'd all be chasing after the same woman.
Exactly.
We do anyway. All right. Well, I think we need to go to break. I have a story for you when we come back about a guy who I would not have thought would have gone off, and it feels like a drunk tweet, except the guy doesn't drink or do drugs. So, and it also is one of my wife's favorite musicians, which what makes it hilarious. We'll talk about that when we come back, and a lot of other stuff. Please don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
All right, I got to tell you guys one more time about Hoops, Pro Dunk Hoops, ProDunkHoops.com. That's where you'll go to get the best basketball goals on the planet. Manufactured exclusively by Hoop Sporting Equipment, and it's the best goal you'll find. And the greatest thing about it is not the quality of it. The quality is fantastic, obviously. Thick as steel, the backboard, if it breaks or cracks, they'll replace it for free. And they've got a design to fit your home or driveway, 5 to 10 feet turn of a handle so easy. The best part is it's got my kids active. It's got my kids outside and doing stuff. I know a lot of my friends have had a pain in the ass trying to get their kids to go outside because all they want to do is be on video games. And now we're going on 2-3 months of being at home with no school, and they're not getting out and doing things. My kids are staying active every day. They are out there hooping it up on this Pro Dunk Hoops Goal. It's the best investment I made. Get your new Hoops Goal today. It's the smart thing to do. And right now, those big box stores, I got news for you. A lot of them are sold out of their goals because people were like, oh, I could better get something done. Pro Dunk Hoops, not sold out. They're taking all the precautions when they install. They're doing it safely for you and for them. Get it today, ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com. Or give them a call, 281-351-9822. For Pro Dunk Hoops.
ESPN 97.5.